The reality is we all have a different worldview based on the experiences that we have lived. And that creates unconscious biases. You have to be responsible for your unconscious bias. You have to be intentionally aware about how you show up if you're going to create an inclusive environment. Sometimes that means putting yourself in very uncomfortable circumstances.
Welcome to Rise and Lead. I'm Benjamin Lundquist, and this podcast is all about personal growth and leadership. 2021 is your year of extreme ownership of your life and your leadership. Thank you for making your growth a priority so you can get better and ultimately serve more people. We all know when the leader gets better, everyone gets better. On this episode, I sit down for a powerful conversation with Tammy Irwin. Tammy Irwin is the Executive Vice President and Group CEO of Verizon Business. She is widely recognized for her strategic impact, marketing and operations focus, technical savvy, and passion for people. She was also featured on the 2020 Fortune list of most powerful women in business. Think about this episode as a master's class in leadership. I'm so thankful to have Tammy on this episode of Rise and Lead. The Rise and Lead podcast is designed specifically to motivate and equip you to live your greatest life with maximum impact. We are going to find out what makes great leaders great and how you can start growing yourself, rise, expanding your impact, lead, and living the life you have been created to live. I want to personally invite you to be a Rise and Lead partner in spreading the word about this podcast and all the episodes that will follow, so together we can reach more people. Remember to subscribe to the podcast so you can get all the episodes that drop every month. Rate the podcast. I'm always going for a 5-star rating. If you think Rise and Lead deserves a 5-star rating, I would greatly appreciate that. Leave a written review about how the podcast has added real value to your life. Your reviews, they make a huge difference. And finally, share about Rise and Lead with your family, friends, and your social media network. Screenshot this episode with Tammy Irwin and send it to someone. You are helping people rise to their next level by connecting them to an episode. When you share about the podcast as an Instagram story, make sure you tag me and I will always try and give you a repost. I like to start each episode with prayer, so let's pray together. God, when we look forward, we often see complexity and impossibility. Show us a better way to impact our teams, organizations, communities, and ultimately the world. We will need to lead differently in 2021 and beyond. Help us to grow into who you need us to be. Amen. As CEO of Verizon Business, a $30 billion company with over 26,000 employees, Tammy and her teams deliver mission-critical solutions to businesses worldwide, helping businesses, government, and communities connect to the global economy and prepare for digital transformation, innovation, and accelerated growth in the era of 5G. Tammy leads by example in advocating for women, social fairness, and equal opportunity. She is passionate about technology's role in improving the ways that people live, learn, work, and play. She is a champion of development and engagement programs for women in business and investment in STEM programs for students. Tammy serves on the Parlay Media Center Board of Trustees and the boards of John Deere and the Verizon Foundation. She is a graduate of the Executive Program at the Stanford University Graduate School of Business. Let's jump into my conversation with Tammy Irwin. What has 2020 been like for you? How have you navigated this year that is like something we've never experienced before?
Yeah, listen, I think 2020 has been a year that we'll all remember, and there's certainly been highs and there's been lows, but I think generally speaking, it has been a very challenging year for the world at large. And it's everything from a pandemic that started to come through Asia and Europe in February and March, and then came here very directly in the North America. I think COVID and the devastating impact on lives, on milestone moments, on the way people work, the way kids educate, the way we socially engage has been incredibly difficult for people. And then I fast forward and think about the economic impact that COVID has created for so many people, and particularly women. When we look at frontline employees and healthcare workers and small businesses, women tend to be over-indexed in terms of the impact it's had on them. Certainly as a female leader, I've got a lot of passion for what and how do we help women show up successfully to be able to have a career and still be the CEO of their home. And then you look at what we saw with the tragic murder of George Floyd and a spotlight that has really put on the conversation about racial justice, and specifically how do we care for and create equity and respect and equality for the Black community in a way that we've clearly not done. So the opportunity to really reset in so many ways, I think, is very real. And of course, then we've had a political cycle and we're headed into the holidays and are staring down an administration change. So a lot of change, and I think a lot of disappointment for people, and yet the resiliency of how the world has shown up, I think, has been incredible. I think the new models that have been created in terms of how life will be different in a post-COVID environment has certainly been remarkable. I think about my role as a leader at Verizon and the ability for us to be very clear about how we really do three things. How do we react and respond to the crisis and lead through that crisis? We did that through a very clear set of priorities. Priority number one was employee safety and well-being above all else. And then it made everything else much easier to figure out. We recognize and respect that we have a huge responsibility to our customers. And as they redefine what was required for them in terms of connectivity and security and virtualized networks and all the things that are required, we did that as well. And then we have two other stakeholders that we think are really important. Number one is how we show up on behalf of our shareholders, of course. And then how do we show up on behalf of society? And this is one where I'm incredibly proud of our leadership position in saying, not just enough to show up on behalf of employees, customers, and shareholders, but we have a responsibility and obligation and a huge opportunity to show up on behalf of some of the societal issues. And so we've done that in monetary ways, we've done that in volunteering, we've done that in so many ways, and I'm incredibly proud of that. So reacting and responding to a crisis is just one job. The other job is delivering the business of the business, what you do every day with 135,000 employees around the world, and making sure you manage through that and deliver your business results. And then a third one, which I think is really exciting, is how do we begin to reimagine how the world is changing around us? And this is one for me, being part of an organization that has led the world to the deployment of 5G, you begin to reimagine and think about the fourth industrial revolution. And what does that mean? And how do you bring people along in that journey? And how does it change society? And so 2020 has been a year of, yes, you react and respond and it's a crisis and you've got four stakeholders, but you run the business of the business. And then you reimagine based on your leadership position around tech and really pushing the world on tech standards. And it's been a year that none of us will forget. I'm always reminded as I think in summary of the year, I'm incredibly grateful. I'm incredibly proud. And I'll admittedly say I'm tired. And so when you put all three of those things together, I think it's okay to admit to all three of those things. The pride and gratitude I feel is immense. But I also recognize for the world, it's been an exhausting year.
When you think, Tammy, about leading an organization, what advice would you give leaders to operate with that attitude of gratitude or that mindset? How can leaders foster that attitude of gratitude and that approach to leadership even though they may be struggling with a lot of things personally or in their company.
Yeah. So I think there's a couple things to think about. And maybe I just take 30 seconds in and kind of acknowledge who am I as a leader and how is my leadership frame and define how I think leaders react and respond to that. Because for me, that's important. I grew up in the Northwest and my heart still lives in the Northwest, despite the fact that I'm physically in New Jersey and based out of our headquarters location here. My father was a physician, but thought he was a farmer. And so we did a little bit of both. And I was blessed to be in a community where I learned to work really hard at an early age. I did every ag job that you could do. But one of the things that I learned at a very early age is because my father was a family practice physician and we were in a rural community, I learned very early the art of compassion and kindness. And I learned that whether it was watching patients come in who couldn't pay for medical care, and this is pre-computer, so I'm kind of dating myself, but the chart would say NA, no charge, or NC, no charge. And it was that recognition that we're all individuals and we're part of humanity, and how you give back to others becomes so important to leadership. And I wouldn't have called it leadership at my age as I was part of that clinic, but I certainly have learned that over time, one of the attributes that I think is so important for leadership is the ability to care and demonstrate kindness. And a leadership belief that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Doesn't mean that you can't have very clear standards of expectation and hold people accountable for performance, but I think when you anchor to a set of kindness and a set of expectations around empathy, I think your ability to think differently about how you show up on behalf of your team is important. I think it's okay as a leader to also, and back to your question of, okay, how do you show up for your people when you might also be tired? I think it's okay to say, I needed a break. One of the things that we've tried really hard to do is to model the fact that even though you're not going to go on vacation as you might normally go on vacation, you need to take a break. You need to have your office hours. You need to be able to say, I need that mental break. One of the things that I work really hard at, and I'm not always successful, but I believe that as a leader, it is my responsibility to practice good self-care. And visualize it that when you're flying on an airplane and they talk about if you were to crash, put on your own oxygen mask first. They do that because if you don't have oxygen, you don't have what's required to help the person next to you. And so visually, I think about my responsibility to put on my own oxygen mask first. That means get a workout in. That means eat healthy. That means do the things that will give me the stamina and the capability to show up my best version of myself for the job that I do. But I would also tell you that I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you that one of the things I think is really important in that, and I've certainly as a mom, as a wife, tried very hard over the years to practice this. I'm not always good at it, but I work hard at it. And that is the expectation that go to the office, you lead and manage your teams, you show up the best version of yourself when you're there all day, and you come home at the end of the day and you're exhausted. And you're like, oh, I'm exhausted. And the fact is, I've worked hard to say, don't bring home the leftovers, bring home the best of who you are to the people that you love the most. And sometimes that means that you've got to kind of talk yourself into that on your commute home or as you're walking out of your office in a work from home environment into a different environment. But when you start with practicing good self-care, when you start with putting your own oxygen mask on first, you have a lot more capacity to give to others, and you're able to be able to sort through what's really a big crisis and what's not and where you have to be involved. And I think that's important.
That's one thing I've noticed too, is that I think it's always going to be a challenge, but the most important person that you're ever going to lead is yourself. And being willing to say, I want to be able to multiply my health as a leader in other people. And I think a lot of leadership, the way I see it, is leaders build leaders and leaders are creating leaders, and an unhealthy leader will multiply herself or himself as unhealthy leaders. So being able to say that that is a priority, especially in 2020, Verizon is global. What have been some of the challenges, Tammy, with leading a company that is global virtually?
Yeah. Listen, I think back to your comment of leaders lead leaders. I think one of the things that I'd be remiss if I didn't just acknowledge is we talk often about leadership shadows, and we as leaders cast big shadows. And the reality is 70 to 80% of what people believe is not what they hear us say. It's the actions that they see us do. And so I can talk about self-care and not practice it, and they then don't believe it's really real, and they then don't believe it's what they should be doing. So that concept of They only listen to what you do as opposed to what you say is pretty powerful. Listen, managing a global team has been really terrific for me. I have employees in 60 countries. I serve customers in 150 countries. It means my phone is always on. And one of the things that's been kind of a hallmark of my leadership has been I love to be in front of my people. The ability to shake hands and kiss babies and be part of and in front of employees and really learn that way. And I've had to really redefine what that looks like and redefine where kind of my energy comes from, because I thrive on that engagement with people. And when you don't have it, I hate to tell you this, but 17 Zoom calls in a day is a very poor substitute for the ability to shake hands and kiss babies. And so finding other ways to do that has been really important to me. I have a list of 300 employees, and I randomly call through that list, and they are people around the world. And it's the ability to call them and say, hey, I'm just thinking about you. How are things going? No purposeful agenda, just simply calling. It's the ability to go into my team in France and go onto Google and write a note, translate it into French, and send it to them in French. We've actually, in our international markets, because they do have a unique set of circumstances, whether you're in Asia Pac or whether you're in EMEA, is every 6 weeks I host a call, and we just did them this week, with all my employees in those markets. And so it means we do one at 7 o'clock at night, and it means we do one, 7 o'clock in the morning and one at 9 o'clock at night, so that we can span the hours that they encompass. And so it may mean that I'm doing a TV broadcast at midnight with a reporter over in Japan. And so you kind of flex your schedule, but you try to listen. And the thing that I love about it is I have a sense of curiosity. How do other people live? And when you can respect and appreciate and listen and learn and really understand that it's only when you bring together and understand this concept of diversity and inclusion, which I hope we spend a minute talking about, just is so important when you think about the ability to meet people where they are. And in a COVID environment, we've had to do that in alternative ways. And so I've created moments to find those moments of joys and have that interaction that would have otherwise been done face-to-face. The silver lining is I've also spent more nights in my own bed this year than I've done before, which has been awesome. But I happen to really love my husband, and it's been a real gift to have a little more time with him as my soulmate.
When you mentioned diversity and inclusion, how have you gone about building that culture and vision with Verizon to really make that an anchor and a foundation of what you do and where your company is going?
Yeah, listen, this is a huge topic, and it's one that I've had a lot of passion for as a female, a work environment, and particularly in a senior role. Most times in my day, I'm in a room that is entirely men. And so I've got a huge passion around how do we make sure we really create an environment where people feel that they're not only represented, but that they're included, and they can be an authentic version of who they are. And I'm really proud of the work that Verizon has done here. You go back to and think about representation. Companies for many, many years have talked about representation. And they're like, do I have one of you and one of you and one of you? But representation is no longer adequate, because representation simply says you bring people to the table. If you bring people to the table and you don't invite them to have a voice at the table, and they have to pretend to be somebody else before their voice is heard, then you've completely blunted the impact of what you're trying to do. I can tell you that several years ago, I went through a training called Unconscious Bias. And I made the comment before I went to the training, like, I don't need this training. Like, I don't have no biases. I like everybody. Like, what's the big deal? The reality is we all have a different worldview based on the experiences that we have lived. And that creates unconscious biases. And I have a belief, we certainly are working very hard at Verizon to say, you have to be responsible for your unconscious bias. You have to be intentionally aware about how you show up if you're going to create an inclusive environment. And sometimes that means putting yourself in very uncomfortable circumstances. That means saying to my Black colleague, what's it like to be a Black employee at Verizon? What's it like to be a Black employee where you say to your 18-year-old son, when you begin to drive and you get pulled over, here's what you must do, because it is a matter of life and death. It's putting yourself in a vulnerable position where you listen and then you learn and then you lead with action to drive change and transformation. And I just think about the history of diversity. I think about racial injustice, and there's just so much of that. And you go back through the history, whether it's the history in the US or other countries, and I think the world has awakened to this expectation that We need respect, and we need equality, and we need dignity for everybody. And I'm super excited about what that means, whether it's for gender, whether it's for race, whether it's for age, whether it's for religion, whether it's for, pick your favorite. But the fact is, it's about how do you create in a world where people feel recognized and respected. I also think one of the things that, for me, as I focused on women in the work environment, is I'm a huge believer this is not a women's issue. This is a leadership and an economic issue. And only when you invite men to be part of the conversation do you ever get to a repeatable, sustainable change. Because if you're only talking to yourself, you're only talking to 50% of the population, you're never going to get the progress you make. And my experience is that men want to be part of this conversation. They recognize they have daughters like you. They have wives like you. They have sisters. And they're like, yeah, I want to see this and I want to recognize it and I want to know that I can make a difference. And so I think it's a hugely exciting time for our world. I think that we're having conversations that we've never had in the work environment before. Part of it is that when you think about traditional work environments, that you go to work at 8 o'clock and you clock in and you clock out at 5 o'clock. And the fact is your device says you're never really clocked out. Your device says you're not balancing your life, you're integrating your life, and you're figuring out how to do that. And so the conversations have widened in ways that I think we might not have ever imagined before. And it gives us a chance to really think differently about how do you unlock the full potential of the team that you're managing. There's a great book called Multipliers. If you haven't read it, it's worth reading. And it talks about, as a leader, do you multiply the potential of your team or do you suppress their capacity because you think you're the head of the team and therefore people have to do what you say? The reality couldn't be further from the truth. It's how do you create the ecosystem, the environment to unlock the full potential of the team by being conscious and aware of how do you do that with every person on your team?
And something you said that it's, there is a big difference between having somebody at the table and having somebody feel included in what's happening in the room. How do you go about, Tammy, as a leader, making sure your team members are actually included in the momentum, the vision of what's happening, that they're not just taking up a seat at a table, but they're included in the movement of what's happening?
Yeah, that's a big question. So I'm going to maybe frame it in a couple of pieces if I can, because I think it's, there's a number of things that are part of that answer to that question. Number one is, I'm a believer that people need to understand what the mission is. And if you're working as a team and you're part of a, whether it's a leader in an organization or a leader in a some kind of group that you're part of, the fact is, as a leader, people need to know what the purpose is and what the mission is. And people need to understand the clarity of what their role is. And so it starts with having a clear sense of purpose and mission, making sure everybody understands it, sets with the expectation of a leader has a responsibility to provide the tools and the resources and the information to be successful. But a leader also has a responsibility to get out of the way and let people do what they want to do. Early in my career, I had a boss who said to me, Tammy, people don't want to work with you because they view you as being too competitive. And I'm like, what do you mean I'm too competitive? I had no observation of my own kind of competitiveness. And in fact, really, it wasn't that I intended to be competitive. I just knew what the mission was. I needed to get the work done, so let's go. Like, there's no confusion for me on getting that done. What I didn't recognize was my impact was that others were like, it's always her way or the highway. So just let her go do the work. And what you find as a leader is when you can have clarity of the mission, when you can invite everybody to play their role, when people understand that they're rowing together and that you only win when you cross the finish line together, then you have the opportunity to really invite everybody to be part of it. And the leader isn't saying, follow me. They're saying, here's the mission. How do we then create the environment so that you unlock the potential of everyone? I'm also a huge believer in the conversation around individual accountability. So if our purpose is we create the networks that move the world forward, I have 15 people on my team. Each person plays a different role. At the beginning of the year, we have a clear set of expectations. What do I expect? What did they expect? What's your personal development plan? So that there's clarity of what I'm going to do to help develop that talent. And then you can measure your progress against that and people know where they play. It's also giving permission for the team to say, hey, Tammy, here's what they need from you that I'm not getting, and here's how you can be helpful. So I really believe it's a two-way conversation. But when you have clarity of mission, you create the environment, and you get out of the way, you'd be amazed what people can accomplish. And I think that's actually 2021, one of the ahas and the surprises, and I've seen it before in crisis, is you see new leaders born during a crisis, people that you never even knew were part of the team because they rise to the occasion. And that's one of the fun things about seeing in a crisis environment is how people really rise to that occasion.
The most effective leaders are going to be people who empower other people. And that may have always existed, but I love what you said about there comes a point where you resource and you support and you set up, and then you have to get out of the way and let your teammates or members be able to step into that potential that they have. And I think that's a big thing. Why is that so challenging, Tammy, for some leaders to get out of the way?
I think because there's many leaders who lead from a very traditional style of leadership, which is it's my way or the highway. I'm the boss. And the reality is this next generation of talent will never accept that. And it's interesting. There's been a lot written in 2020 about peacetime leaders versus wartime leaders. And kind of when you're in a crisis, you need somebody to take control of the reins. And I think there's moments in time where a leader needs to say, I got this and here's how we're going to move forward in a crisis environment. But in a normal environment, it's about what is the mission and do people have clarity of their role, and then get out of the way and don't block the team from doing what they can really accomplish. And I just think that's where, as I have a belief that I'm a servant leader. I work for my team. They may report to me, but I work for them. And my responsibility every single day is to make sure that the 30,000 people that are part of Tammy Irwin's team have jobs, that they have clarity of the mission, that they have accountability for delivering back on all four stakeholders, that they feel valued in the organization. That's my job. And when you show up that way, and you know, somebody once told me, and I think it's a great reminder, when you care for the person that works for you and the person that cares for them, they will run the mountain for you. And that's incredibly true.
Have you seen, Tammy, in 2020, that as a leader, that empathy plays a different role than it might have in the past? How important is it for leaders to live, lead, and practice empathy in 2020 and beyond?
I think empathy is one of the single most important leadership characteristics that is required of a leader. I think there's some basic fundamental leadership requirements. So let me just set that stage and then tell you where I think empathy fits in. Integrity is at the core of everything one must do as a leader. Respect, performance excellence, accountability, courage, communication skills. But this kindness and empathy, I think more than ever, has been critical in 2020 and will continue into 2021. I mean, you think about 2020, I have 30,000 employees who said, sure, come on into my house and live with me for the year. I mean, think about that. They invited Verizon into their house and said, come be part of my world. That means I've met their kids, their dogs, their cats, their, and I think the ability when somebody's working out of their kid's bed, because that's the only place in the house they have to work, and the kid wants to come into the bed, come on in. Nice to see you. Hey, who, you know, tell me about who you are. I think this ability to demonstrate humanness is so important, because at the end of the day, if we don't show kindness, if we don't show empathy, we don't really understand that we are talking and working with and managing human beings. I also believe that creating a safe place is also the responsibility of a leader. When you think about the uncertainty of 2020, when you think about the anxiety of not knowing, am I going to get to go to my kid's graduation? Is my kid going back to school? Am I going to get to see my mom? How about that wedding I was supposed to go to? Can I see the baby be born? All the uncertainty and anxiety. The thing that I can do as a leader is create a sense of certainty of what success is. What is your job? How do I measure success? It's predictable. It's consistent. It's a safe place to go. And yet one of the things that we've seen, interestingly enough, is that because it is safe, because people are afraid for their jobs, they may work more than they really should be. And so it is a matter of saying, hey, I got it. Thank you very much. It's time to take a couple of days off. And so it is recognizing and being in tune with the work you're asking your team to do, finding that balance of what is a safe environment? What is the work they can do? Feeling valued, feeling a sense of security and stability really has gone a long ways for employees. And then you think about the ability to be empathetic. People have experienced incredible, incredible loss in 2020. I lost a dear friend to COVID in April. And it was only at that point that this went from being a very academic exercise to a human exercise. Because the academic exercise is, I knew the actions I need to do to keep my people safe and take care of my customers and do all the stuff I need to do. But it was when you realize that these are human lives, when you realize that these are people that the loss, kind of the ultimate loss, is a loss of a life, but it's a loss of a milestone moment. It's a loss of getting to go to school. It's a loss of getting to graduate. It's all these cycles of grief that people have been through. And if you can't show empathy, what can you show?
How do you build a culture where Verizon is able to adapt and pivot so quickly to changes in technology, challenges, and opportunities? And I love what you said early on. And you mentioned that this has been such a time of opportunity. You know, when you look at, even in all the challenges, there's all these opportunities. How do you keep this culture of innovation and the ability to pivot and adapt there in Verizon as you're leading this company?
Yeah. Hey, just one thought on empathy, because I think it's important. Maybe two thoughts. One is, when you think about kind of being there and being present, I also think the role of a leader, particularly in a corporation, is to also be in a position where you can redirect people back to resources that may be helpful to the situation they're going through. And I think that's a pretty important distinction, is you listen and you help direct and move them forward. Because as a leader, you have access to a lot of tools that you can help provide that will help somebody in terms of where they may be. When I think about innovation, listen, we're in an exciting place. I started in this business 30 years ago, and I remember the very first device I ever used was one of the great big bricks. And I was pulling out of the driveway of my office, first time I ever used it. And I was pushed the send key to call home and talk to my husband. And it was scratchy and you could hardly hear, but wow, was it cool. And the reality is, fast forward 30 years, and it's cooler than it's ever been before, because your entire life is managed within that device and the access you have. And yet, as we move into kind of the next generation of technology and you move into 5G, you really begin to unlock capabilities that we've never imagined. And you really have now connectivity meets cloud and cloud meets compute, and you have big data and lots of information. And so you have the ability to really drive transformational change. And for us, many of the things that were important to us in this crisis environment have been keeping our eye on the prize. And that prize is leading the world to global 5G and being the first in the world to do that. And so people want to be successful. And if they have a mission and they have the tools and you can run to that mission, even in a crisis, it's really giving people a chance to use this as a moment to drive innovation. And I interact with CEOs around the world because of the business that I run in B2B. And we were talking pre-COVID about transformation of businesses, digital transformation. People were talking about it. The reality is, when COVID hit, it was real-time transformation. And when we then think about what we're doing at Verizon, the technology we enable, the innovation that's happening around, the ability to innovate on behalf of our customers has been really, really exciting. And what's happened is people are accelerating their transformation. They did real-time transformation when they figured out how to send everybody home. Now they're doing accelerated digital transformation, either to take cost out of the business, to differentiate and change a customer experience. I'll give you a couple of examples that I think are really, really interesting right now. One is healthcare. We will never sit in the doctor's office sick again. Fact is, you've got biometric capability, you've got video and collaboration capabilities. You're going to do most of your healthcare via a device where you've got video and collaboration capabilities. Your biometrics will be available, your information will be available, and it will open up access to healthcare for people who have not had access to healthcare, because you don't have to be in a city to see a specialist. You're going to have access to specialists. So I think it's creating incredible change and transformation. But one of the things that we've been really clear about is who is the customer and what do they require? You think about healthcare. You've got healthcare, I've got the patient, I've got the physician, I've got the administrator. Who's my customer? Yes, they're all a customer. So who are you innovating for? And so the breadth of innovation is massive when you think about the potential. You think about education. You know, the days of going to school for 4 years, graduating from college, coming out and working for 25 years, they're gone. Because the reality is, we will be students of life for the rest of our life, because A, kids that are being born today are going to live till they're 100. And so they're going to have multiple careers. They're going to need to constantly be learning if they're going to keep change with the pace that's happening with innovation. And I think that's kind of the challenge right now for society and for leaders, is how do you be a student in business where every single day you're curious about what you're doing? Because otherwise you become irrelevant to the mission at hand. And I just think, for all of us as leaders, how do you be curious and soak in the information and challenge your thinking and be willing to say, I don't know the answer, and be willing to set big, big goals. There was a great article, I think it was the Wall Street Journal, it might have been the New York Times this week, but about Pfizer. And I happen to know the Pfizer CEO. And there was some debate about, he set big, lofty goals for his team. And he said, I believe everything is achievable. And it's a little bit like, what's your moonshot? For Pfizer, the moonshot was get that vaccine and get it out so that people can get back into a healthy societal rhythm. And the fact is, he pushed his team because they had big goals. And I believe that as you think about technology and innovation, people want to win. And when you start to win, there's this flywheel effect that you're like, all right, I got this. And my experience is people win better together than when they're flying solo on their own.
What advice would you give leaders, Tammy, to step into that space of setting bigger goals? What are the components that get somebody in a place where they can vision bigger, willing to take bigger risks? But what would you say to somebody who's playing small and they have more potential in them and they can set big goals, but they're not doing it? What would you want to say to somebody about goal setting?
So a couple things. I started my career as a customer service rep. And I thought, well, I'll do this for a couple of years. And when I grow up, I'll decide what I want to do. I think my very first job at Verizon as a customer service rep might have been the only job I've had a job description for. And you might go, well, that's a bit weird. And maybe it is. And I've had probably 20, maybe 25 different jobs at Verizon. And now I'm the CEO of a publicly held $32 billion business with 30,000 employees serving customers in 150 countries. And I've had an incredible opportunity to grow my career. There's a couple of things that as I reflect back on that, I would share with people. First of all, don't wait for somebody to tap you on the shoulder to get something done. If you see something that needs to get done, go solve the problem. Lean in, be curious, offer to be part of, go take the job that nobody else maybe wants, but get the work done. Show up as somebody who's curious, who's interested, who wants to learn, who's willing to make mistakes, who's willing to learn, to deliver, to go the extra mile. So that's number one, work really hard. Number two is dream big. Dream big about what you want. I probably didn't dream big enough because I just assumed that somebody would recognize and reward me. By the way, people have done a pretty good job of that along the way, but what if I'd have been more intentional and more purposeful? And I think it's particularly true for women, is you've got to declare what you want. Because if you don't declare what you want, then you don't have a path that you're leaning into. So you need to declare what you want. The other one is, and this is a big one, treat everybody the way you want to be treated. One of my joys for me, I started my career in Seattle, and then I went back probably, we've now been gone 15, almost 20 years from Seattle, and then I went back 10 or 15 years ago, and I ran into the janitor. And it was like I had found my long-lost friend, because at the end of the day, be good to everybody, the big people, the little people, because at the end of the day, everybody matters. And so I would say, be curious, lean in, assume that that's your job. Go get it. Do what people need you to do. Be part of the team. And then the other thing I have learned along in my career that I think is really important is the people that will be most influential in your career will not be your employees and they will not be your boss. It will be your peers. Bring your peers along with you. Learn to network, learn to help them be successful, find a way to really be invested in their success because they're the ones that will either help you be successful or they're going to make sure you're not successful.
And you've talked, Tammy, about being friends and colleagues and knowing the CEO of Pfizer, different corporations around the world. How do you as CEO of Verizon serve other CEOs? Are there particular things that you offer, you say, you leverage, you advocate for, but how does a CEO serve other CEOs?
You do it first and foremost by being respectful of their mission and understanding their mission. My job in the work that I do with other CEOs is to make sure that I show up on behalf of them as a customer. And so respecting and acknowledging that they've chosen to do business with me, and I have a responsibility to go above and beyond the expectations that they have in that service to customers. So very, very important. And that never stops. CEO to CEO is what can I do to improve the capability that I deliver for you? How can I imagine and how can I co-design and co-innovate because I understand your business? So it's really, it's being a good listener. It's understanding what their mission is. We just announced today a big worldwide deal with Walgreens, and it's one of the biggest deals we've done with Network as a Service. And it was really about defining and understanding what are they trying to accomplish, and then how can I be their partner as we move through this process together. I think the other thing that we're seeing, and I want to make sure we spend just a minute and talk about it, is kind of the CEO to CEO, and I see this in my boss, Hans Vestberg, who's the CEO for all of Verizon. As you begin to bring CEOs together and recognize the power of what corporations can do on behalf of society, I think you're seeing a real shift and a real pivot right now where corporations, and I'm proud of the fact that Verizon is leading this, are saying, it's not enough for us to have a philanthropic arm of giving. We have to view society as our fourth stakeholder. And we have to understand that the decisions that we make impact and influence the world in which we live. And we've announced a program called Citizen Verizon, and it's really the ability to care for, how do you think about digital inclusion? How do you think about just humanity and, you know, what's good for overall humanity? And then how do you think about how we treat the earth? Because those are big issues. What's happening with the climate, what's happening with digital, and then what's happening with humanity and kind of reskilling people. And I think that's the other thing that you find in CEO to CEO interaction, is that you build a network of people. And my dad once said to me, you want something done, you ask a busy person. And a busy person is likely to get it done. And more often than not, you tap another CEO on the shoulder and say, I need help with a mission. They're on it, because they know how to get stuff done. And so for me, it's about serving other CEOs first and foremost as a customer, but then respecting that I can learn so much from them, understanding their mission so I can show up on behalf of their mission, but then understanding the missions that we share together on behalf of society and the things that we can do more broadly to really move the world forward. I believe I have technology that can be used to solve some of the world's biggest problems. And I have a responsibility to do that. It isn't just about how do I care for my customers and my employees and my shareholders. I have to do all that. But caring for society and finding a way to use tech to solve some of the world's biggest problems is a piece that is super exciting. And CEOs, I think, unifying on how they do that is one of the things that is coming out of 2020.
And Tammy, I want to ask you something on the practical side of takeaway. But before I do that, what would be, when you think about serving communities, serving the world, what is your dream for the difference and change that you'd like to see in the world?
Yeah, listen, I think there's so many challenges that are happening in the world right now. When you look at, you know, I heard a statistic this week that 1 in 4 children in the U.S. go to bed hungry. How can that be? How can that be that in the richest country in the world, 1 in 4 children go to bed hungry? My dream, my wish, my goal, my belief is that everyone should have an opportunity to have health care, to have food, to have an opportunity for education, to be able to achieve their dreams. I happen to also believe that every one of us has a responsibility to work hard to get after that. So I'm not being political in my statement. I just believe that we owe to whom much is given, much is expected. And my expectation is that we've got to create an environment where children, and I love kids. My team says Tammy loves kids and she loves veterans, and both of those are true. But how do we make sure that we create a world where people can feel a sense of joy and peace, where people can work hard and know that their family and the people they care for will be fed and safe and well? I just think we have so much opportunity. And if we don't work together as humanity and recognize that at the end of the day, we are people that need to care for people so that the world can be a better place, then we've missed the mission of what life is all about. And I believe it's one of the things, quite frankly, that drives me as a leader is, yes, the ability to deliver great performance results, but the ability to influence and leave the world a better place is what life is all about.
Tammy, if there's somebody listening to this episode of Rise and Lead who wants to take their influence and leadership to that next level, is there anything you recommend, even in the next 24 hours, the next week, before the end of the year, that you would recommend? Here's something extremely practical that you could do in your approach to leadership that could really help you be a more effective leader.
Yeah, two things I would suggest, and this is the perfect time of year as we wrap up the year and begin to reflect on what does 21 look like. Do an inventory of the skills and capabilities that make you great. And what are the things that you think you're really good at? And then what are the things that you love to do? And what are the gaps that you have against what you would like to be able to do? And then really be clear about the fact that you have some great skills and capabilities. Make those even stronger within your portfolio. You've got a series of assets of things that make you great. Understand what those are, lean into them, and then make a plan to work on one or two of those developmental areas, because it will teach you the sense of being a student, being a constant student, constantly improving. And then I would say, find somebody in your day, every single day, pick up the phone and call somebody and demonstrate kindness, because the next 3 months are not going to be easier than the last 3 months. Reach out to somebody. There's a lot of lonely people in the world right now. Reach out and pick up the phone and call somebody. Tell them you care. Check in on them. See how they're doing. Tell them you're thinking about them. Write a handwritten note. I write a ton of handwritten notes because I love getting them, so I love sending them. Find a way to do that, but demonstrate kindness and compassion to somebody else. And then declare what you want. Figure out what it is you want. You're not a victim. Every one of us has a choice when we get up in the morning to say, how am I going to spend this day? One day at a time. So know your inventory, be kind to somebody else, and declare your plan.
I love that. And I think that's when you think about your responsibilities. The fact that you mentioned earlier that you have a Rolodex of 300 names and you intentionally check in and you write handwritten cards, I think that's incredible. And we may not have time, but I would imagine some of those phone calls, there's a surprise on the other end that somebody is getting a direct phone call from Tammy Irwin to say, I want to support you. I want to let you know you're not invisible. I care for you. You have potential. And I'm just checking in. So thank you for modeling that. And especially at such a high level of leadership.
Let me tell you the other surprise on that. The other surprise is you think you're doing it because it's the right thing to do. It fills my soul when I have a chance to hear what's happening in people's lives. So don't think you're just doing it for the good of others. There's so much give back that happens when you do that, because you learn where people are, you learn about the person, you realize that we are really all connected. Journey we call life.
Tammy, thank you so much. It's been an absolute joy. And again, that challenge that you gave us of taking an inventory of your gifts, of your passions, of your skill sets, putting the work into maximizing those and taking those next level every day, making an intentional effort to spread kindness to people, text message, card, phone call. And then what you said at the very end, which I think is just gold. You are not a victim. Declare what you want with your life and declare the impact that you want to make. And you mentioned a little bit earlier with that declaration, don't wait for somebody to do that for you, but take the initiative, own the life that you have been given, and declare what you want with this life and the impact you want to make.
Yep. And give yourself some grace along the way, because you will undoubtedly make mistakes and fall down. Dust off your knees, get back up and keep moving, and recognize that you will learn from those mistakes and only get better.
Tammy, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being on this episode of Rise and Lead.
Thanks so much. It's been terrific.
I hope this episode impacted you. Honestly, I'd encourage you to listen to this episode again. There is so much value in what Tammy shared. Make sure you screenshot this episode and share it with someone. Post it to your social media accounts. Make sure you tag me so I can give you a repost. Remember, someone you know needs this particular episode. And thanks again for leaving a rating and review on iTunes. And don't forget to subscribe. Look for new episodes to drop every month. You won't want to miss those. Thank you for taking the time to invest in yourself. You are worth it. Remember, the best time to rise and lead is now.